So this is a sliding closure and lock mechanism. If you look up here, you'll see that this side tapers in.
Oh, yeah.
And you can see the locking component here. Come check this out. So you can even stick your camera down in there and get a good view of the trapezoidal shape here. So these pieces taper in and it locks here into the component at the bottom.
You can even see like there's a little, like there was one possibly here.
Yeah, there would have been another piece here that slid down and locked into place here. Okay, so the question you should be asking yourself is why? Why is there this type of mechanical component on this side of a burial structure? It's not the entrance. We just went through the entrance.
Right.
So this isn't connected in any way to the original opening into the chamber system. So what is it connected into? They refer to this area as the so-called offering hall. They have these offering halls adjacent to all of these pyramids. And I don't know if you saw it where you went the other day, but did you see the conduit system in the collection bowl where you went the other day that we're not going to say on camera?
Oh, yes. You did see it. Yeah.
Okay, so that system connects into an offering hall on the side of the pyramid. So I think here you can see this red granite component continues underneath this piece. There's something here.
Something underneath here.
That connects into the pyramid structure. Because there's absolutely no need for this sliding, locking mechanical component unless there was something here that had to be locked and open.
Absolutely.
So again, remember below here, there's a passage that runs from here to here. And then there are long tunnels. I mean, I would say probably half of a football field long. The length of these transverse tunnels, and there's tons of them. Structure continues back in that direction to where we just were,
right?
And then it goes further in this direction.
Yo, that's deep.
That is deep.
There's a lot going on.
Yep.
Thousands of bats.
Did they chase you?
Well, so they were immediately disturbed as soon as we started walking down in there. In the footage, so I shine my flashlight up,
and they start pouring
out of the ceiling, just hundreds and hundreds of bats, just dumping out of the system.
That's wild.
And every time I turned a corner to look down,
you'd unleash more bats.
More bats just swarming the camera.
Damn.
So I didn't know that when we were going down there. This here was another pyramid. This is an opportunity to differentiate between different types of geology. So here, this is red quartzite, which is a different type of stone than the red granite.
Yeah.
So here we have red granite.
Higher quartz content
on
this.
Red quartzite. So the main difference, so here you have smaller fragments of quartz and a different chemical composition of the matrix stone.
And you get big chunky bits of quartz in this.
Yeah, red quartzite, red granite here, red quartzite here, also has huge pieces of flint. You can see the flint embedded in the stone. You have a lot larger chunk and a different chemical composition of the stone matrix. So it is red. It also contains quartz. But you do have two different types of stone, red granite and red quartzite.
Have you been out to Tanis?
No.
Oh, I really would love to go out to Tanis. Is that a restricted area as well?
No. My company can arrange tours out there. We've just never been. So also, red quartzite here. These fragments are huge pieces of red quartzite. And then this is alabaster, the same crystal material.
We saw glowing.
Calcite crystal, yep, that is embedded in the floor here. And so turn around, doing a sweeping shot of what we have left here, and envision in your mind, this was originally a two-story facility. And I'll show you the stairs that would have taken you up to the second floor of this temple laboratory complex. And there's absolutely nothing left today of a two-story, huge two-story facility.
So what do you think explains that? Just a lot of looting and desolation over time, or natural disaster?
So the conventional explanation is quarrying of the site. Any quarryable materials have been removed by all of the civilizations that have come through Egypt in the antique time and also in the relatively modern time.
Right.
So everyone has taken from these sites in terms of removing stones.
Right.
That would be the conventional explanation, is quarrying.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a lot of evidence that that was happening. We didn't get to do the central pyramid, but there's lots of stones around the central pyramid where you could see quarry marks, where they were harvesting red granite and other stones off the side of the pyramid.
But what do you think?
I agree with that, because there is a lot of evidence that that was happening. But I also think that there was, well, we know that there was a number of things that happened around 5000 BC in the Middle East Mediterranean area in terms of floods and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And
so it could be geological trauma.
Correct. So I, you know, obviously I believe that these are functional structures.
Yeah.
And there had to be a significant reason that these structures went offline.
Right.
So I believe that they were operational during a time period called the Saharan Humid Period, which was around 8500 BC to around 5300 BC, when these things were kicking and running.
Right.
But around 5300 BC, let's say the system is calibrated to use a specific amount of water. All of a sudden, the rains stop and the desiccation of the Sahara starts turning farmland and agricultural areas that were prevalent during the Saharan Humid Period into the desert. So your calibration of water is gone. Not to mention there were floods in the Black Sea and all sorts of other environmental catastrophes that happened around that time period. There were floods that happened that could have caused internal damage to the structures, you know, damaging pumps and other sort of components that would have taken the system offline. Main reason being the Sahara Desert turning back into a desert, and all of the water that was used to calibrate the system was no longer there.
Right.
So they dried out and they were no longer functional. That's it.
There you go.
You have the same thing in Abu Sir at the Pyramid of Sahure, where you see these steps
going to nowhere
that would have originally gone to a second level of the structure, which it's no longer there. That's all that's left. Reminds me of like Mesoamerican polygonal style masonry.
Right.
And it also is very reminiscent of the style of masonry that we see in the Valley Temple.
So
I was saying, what's behind us is a very different style of masonry, much smaller blocks. It looks completely different than what we see here. So the conventional story is these are just more boat pits. Definitely not boat pits. I will say, it does have a vaguely
boatish shape, yeah.
But there's also one over here that's completely buried, right next to it. This here is another one. Well, you'll notice there's two different configurations of these things. This one is much higher and has a much steeper incline.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And completely buried in the sand. Let's jump down in here and I'll show you the reason why I think these might not be boat pits.
That's a big block.
It's an anomaly. All right, so where did this piece come from? It's not a part of the wall.
No, it's
not. It's a completely different size as the wall blocks. So, A, where the hell did this thing come from? And who moved it down in here?
Yeah.
You know, this
is for what purpose?
1900s early archaeology that moved this thing out of the way. You know, what the hell is this thing and why is it down in here?
You got any thoughts on that?
No. Those things were
just a full-on anomaly.
I have no idea.
No idea.
What that was a piece of. So imagine this is just a fragment of a block.
Yeah.
So the original block was been.
Do you think this might be another piece of that block, like just down here?
It's certainly possible.
Yeah.
So we noticed this the last time that we were in here. What, I mean, it's completely filled with sand and trash. You stick your camera in there.
Yeah.
And it goes down. So, possibly either a drainage or fill shaft for this system, which, given the length of the subterranean labyrinth complex that runs below this, I wouldn't be at all surprised if this system, a huge reservoir above ground, is connected directly into the subterranean labyrinth chamber system that runs below all this area. Persians were the first people that re-inhabited and reutilized the area of Saqqara as the first archaeological museum. And they built a bunch of structures here. This one specifically is known as one of the Persian tombs. And the entrance that we're going to go through today into the Step Pyramid was also said to have been excavated by the Persians. Not an original part of the structure, but they came back here and they were doing the same thing we're doing today. Archaeological tourism at the site. You see the size of that lid? So the size of the lid is just, you know, maybe 5 feet on each side to the size of this pit.
Jesus.
And obviously they've never fully excavated this thing because you can't haul that thing out. So that's just a lid. Imagine the size of the container. So again, maybe take 5 feet on each side from the edges of the pit. That is the dimensions of the lid. And the container itself, so you see this first strata to that crack right there? That's probably how big and how deep this
That's incredible.
Container
is. That is insane.
Do they know of any entry points or is it all just top down?
So we have had corroborated, you'll see over here these covered shafts. By some of the archaeologists on site. I have a friend that's one of the lead archaeologists here that says these are pits that go down into the bedrock, very similar to what we see on Giza, where the deep vertical shafts are connected by transverse passages where everything is linked via the underground system. So they don't know for sure, but it has been proposed by an archaeologist, actually an Egyptian Ministry of Antiquities employee, one of the lead archaeologists here on site. And again, you talk to these guys privately and they all know about stuff. They're very open to all sorts of alternative hypotheses about the construction methods. And we know the lead inspector of the Giza Plateau, who's, you know, he said some stuff on camera, on camera that I have on the channel where he's corroborating, connecting underground shafts that link the Great Pyramid into the Sphinx enclosure.
That's amazing. Yeah, that's amazing. So,
Red Pyramid?
Yeah, Bent Pyramid.
Bent Pyramid. And if you look to the left, you see that black mound of what looks like nothing?
Yes, that's Dahshur.
That's the Black Pyramid of Dahshur.
Yep.
So you can see all three.
That's amazing. What a view.
Yeah. So when we were at Giza, we were talking about the role of the pyramid structures in manufacturing a series of acidic solutions for metal ore mining and processing, amongst other applications that are also connected to fertilizer and various other industrial applications.